Today. This is a time of year that some are reading a little more scripture than they might normally, and it's really a subset of scripture when people are reading about the birth of Christ. But you know, I wanted to talk tonight about, you know, when we know God's word, but God's word really doesn't help us. And in fact, as we go through the Gospels and we look at Jesus' ministry, there's many times when Jesus is dealing with people that know some of the word, but the word's really not helping them. So I want to go quickly through a few points here that we see in Jesus's life when he conflicted with others that had some knowledge, but it didn't really help them. In Matthew chapter 22, we see that the Sadducees had some questions, and the thing is that they had some knowledge, but they really were not applying it. In Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 23, they were trying to trap Jesus with questions. And verse 23 says, "The Sadducees came to him who said there is no resurrection. They asked him a question, saying, 'Teacher, Moses said if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up children for his brother.'" And they go on with this hypothetical situation about this person. "There are seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brother. So to the second and the third, down to the seventh, and after all of them, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her." My father used to say the moral of that story is you need to quit marrying that woman, because everybody that she married died. But Jesus answered them, because they were just trying to entrap him, and he said, "You're wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven." And so his answer to them is, God's word isn't helping you because you don't know it. And certainly that is obvious if it's something that we don't know, like they didn't know. People have questions. They have opinions, and many times they have opinions about something that they really don't have a whole lot of knowledge about. We just don't need to forget that ominous warning in Hosea, where Hosea said, "My people will be destroyed for lack of knowledge," and certainly there's nothing more true than that. We need to have knowledge, and God's word is not going to help us if it's out there and we don't know it. And Sadducees could have had it, but they didn't. God's word also doesn't help us when we twist it and we pervert it, because we know that even Satan knew the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 4, we see that Satan tempted Jesus based on the scripture. Satan knew God's word and quoted it to Jesus to try to entrap him. And so for various reasons, people will twist and pervert the scriptures. They know it. They quote it. They may take it out of context. They may use passages against one another, and people will twist scriptures to their destruction. And so God's word doesn't help us when we try to find some reason not to believe it, and we twist it and pervert it. And that comes sometimes from having preconceived ideas about things, and that's one of the things that Jesus ran into with those in his day. If you look in Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 23, the Pharisees were challenging Jesus about the authority with which he spoke. And of course, Jesus amazed people with the authority that he spoke with, and they challenged him about this. Verse 23 says, "He entered the temple, and the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?' And Jesus answered them, 'I will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, I will also tell you about the authority I do these things. The baptism of John, is it from heaven or from man?' And they discussed it among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why do you not believe him? If we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet.' So they answered Jesus and said, 'We do not know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you about what authority I do these things.'" And so they really did not care what the truth was in this matter. They were trying to to entrap Jesus. They were dishonestly following the preconceived ideas that they had, and God's word wasn't going to help them. And the Pharisees, that was part of their downfall. Also, if you feel like you just want something special, and God's word isn't enough for you, that's also an area where people can have a downfall, and the word of God is not really helping them because they're wanting something special. They're wanting a private message. Jarrell has a relative that she's been discussing this with recently, that he thinks that he is getting a special message just for himself. And I know I've told some of you this before, but my dad studied with somebody one time that was telling him all the things that God had told her that were against the scriptures. And he opened up the Bible and he said, "Well, God told me he didn't tell you that." So the thing is that if we want something special and God's word is not good enough for us, is not enough for us, then this is the same thing that the Pharisees were asking for. The scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 38, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.' He answered them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.'" And so he goes on and he talks about a prophecy of himself going to be raised from the dead. And so you consider this in the context of the time that this happened. Did they already have some signs? Yes. There were lots of signs because Jesus had given many signs. And so this request is really astounding when they said, "Well, we want a sign." Well, you've already had a bunch of those. So the point is, for some people, what God has offered us in his word is not enough. They want something special. They want their own message. And God's word is here, and it's finished, and it will help us if we will listen to it. And if we are looking for something special, something just for you personally, that's not going to happen. Another thing that is a hindrance to God's word helping us is looking for loopholes. In Matthew chapter 15, again, we're kind of on a roll here with the Pharisees, but the Pharisees also had an issue here that Jesus pointed out in Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 6. Matthew chapter 15, verses 6 and, well, I'll back up a little bit. This is where the Pharisees were asking, why do you not follow the tradition of the elders? We talked about this in class, for they do not wash their hands when they eat. And Jesus asked, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded you to honor your father and mother. Whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, 'What would have gained from me is given to God,' he need not honor his father and mother." So what was happening here is that they had a responsibility to their father and mother, but they claimed that, "Well, if I'm going to dedicate this money to God, then I will not fulfill that responsibility." So they're looking for a loophole not to fulfill their responsibility to their family. If we dedicate our money to God, then our parents cannot expect that. So they thought they had found a loophole, and so they're rendering God's word ineffective. And there certainly can be lots of examples of that today when we try to find a loophole not to do what God tells us to do. One of the things that you hear over the years is folks that say, "Well," and usually a statement will start out with, "You can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says to do this," or, "You can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says not to do this. You can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says I have to attend on Sunday night." Well, usually they know as well as any of us that the Scripture tells us not to forsake the assembly, but they've looked for a loophole that Hebrews is only talking about Sunday morning. And so every other assembly is really not the assembly, is the idea here. Looking for a loophole not to to follow God's word. And there's all kinds of examples where we can say, well, God doesn't talk about this or that, because the point is we're trying to get close to sin without and looking for a loophole to do that. And we just need to be honest with ourselves that God's word is not going to help us if we're trying to get close to the devil as much as we can. We also will not be helped by God's word if we're looking for something to serve other than God. The rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, he came to Jesus to learn how to go to heaven. He asked some questions, but Jesus' answer didn't help him because he served his possessions above God. And we're warned over and over in the scriptures, Paul warns the Colossian brethren and the Philippian brethren that they can serve their own passions, they can serve money, they can serve their own passions and lust, and so we can deceive ourselves if we serve something other than God. And we can also render God's word ineffective if we love the praises of men more than the praises of God. This is a common issue that Jesus addressed in his ministry. In John chapter 12, we're told of many who believed on Christ, but they wouldn't admit it. It was a problem because they would not bring themselves to confess Christ because they did not want the stigma that would be attached to that. So they didn't want to tell others about their faith or try to convince others to believe. And so what does that mean? It means that they love the praise of men, they love the acceptance of men more than they love the praise of God. And that's certainly unfortunate, and God's word won't help you if that's the category that you find yourself in. And finally, what we see is that if we're more concerned about keeping man's traditions than God's traditions. Again, this is a Pharisee problem that we see in Matthew chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. Matthew chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. So I'll start in verse 1. The Pharisees and scribes came to him from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And what we have already noted about that is that it's called the tradition of the elders. And they even say that in their statement. Why do you break the tradition of the elders? It doesn't say, why do you break the word of God? Why do you break the commandment of God? But they put their tradition on the same level with God's commandment. And so, God's word did not help the Pharisees because they were more concerned to keep the traditions of washings of hands rather than keeping the traditions that were handed down to them about how to deal with their own mother and father. And so, Christianity has been around for a long, long time. And just with the Jews, a lot of the man-made traditions have arisen over the years. And what we see is that many, many people are following after tradition today instead of following the tradition that was handed down by God or handed down by the apostles. And so I always think it's good when people focus on the Word of God. It's good when people read the Scriptures. But it's something that needs to be applied. It's something that we need to make sure that we do not nullify it by doing any of these things that we talked about tonight. These types of things that will affect us if we're looking for loopholes, if we're looking for some way to nullify God's will, or if we love the praises of men more than the praises of God. And we certainly need to, first of all, know the will of God. And when we know it, we need to follow it. So I hope these things will be useful to you and that we will have the right attitude when we look at the Word of God to apply all of it to ourselves. We can help in any way to be, if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand in silence.